Praise the Lord, everyone. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. Good to be at First Church this Sunday morning. And I would be amiss to say that this church provides so many great leaders for our district. And I appreciate that from Sunday school and Brother Kento and the youth and Brother Zenobia has promotions. Brother Gibbs is the men's. And Sister Hoffman, the ladies. And I think that's about it. But we could not do what we need to do without you. Oh, most important, near to my heart, Brother Bernard is our North American director for this section. And so appreciate that he, out of his all the things that he does, is willing to serve in that capacity. Kind of elevates all of our game, and so we're thankful for him serving there. And thank you, First Church. This church was the catalyst to us becoming a district. Brother Hoffman kind of led the charge on that, and we figured if he was for it, who could be against it? And so here we are today. Amen. And we stepped into that general board meeting with all the confidence in the world, and Brother Hoffman was passing out the papers and all that. We're like, okay, we got this. So let's all stand today for the reading of the word. Amen. Did I already say that? It's good to be here. Amen. Why don't you turn around and smile at somebody? I know that we greet one another, but everyone likes a smiling face. Amen. Better than a frown. Amen. Feel the presence of the Lord here in a mighty, mighty way. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Amen. This is on the back end of a vision that he said he was awake, but the angel of the Lord tapped him on the shoulder and gave him a vision like he was awakening from sleep. What a powerful thing that would be to happen to us. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this word of the Lord is unto Zerubbabel. I know I'm giving it to you, Zechariah. You know God still does that? Gives a word to your pastor for you? Can't be saved without it. This word is for Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone that scattered about from the debris before with a shout, crying, grace, grace unto it. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth away, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. We've had the privilege of having the word of God read over us. I pray that he that hath an ear will hear what the Spirit says to the church. In Jesus' name. Let's just lift our hands one more time. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word today. Thank you for this great church, the great things they're doing, providing for our district, providing for this community, Lord. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless your people today. And everybody that wants a blessing, say amen. That's everybody. You may be seated today. Let me just say this. Kind of put it in your back pocket. Hold on to this thought. It's human nature to put more on us ourselves than we should. To take on more than we should, especially spiritually speaking. So just hold on to that for a moment. It's important to remember, sometimes we have some scriptures that we quote and we remember our go-to scriptures. But sometimes it's just that scripture, but sometimes we don't understand where it comes from and why it was written. So when it says it's not by might nor by power, but by his spirit, it's important to remember that prophecy took place while the temple was being rebuilt. They had returned after 70 years of exile, the Babylonians and then the Persians. And they had two preachers during that time, Haggai and Zechariah. And they ministered together to God's people. They were a witness for God to the people. Zechariah is awake, it seems to me, and he's awakened all of a sudden, like he was sleeping, with a vision that came from God. And in this vision, he saw a golden candlestick or menorah. And in that, there were seven lamps and seven pipes. In the middle of that, there was a bowl. On either side of the bowl, there was olive trees. And it flowed from the olive trees to the bowl, to the bowl, to the lamps. And he looked at that vision and didn't quite understand what it was. And he asked the Lord, "What are these, Lord?" You know, sometimes it's good to tell the Lord, "I don't know." Have you ever been up against something, you just don't know what to do? God speaks to you and you don't know how he's going to be able to accomplish it, especially through you. And it's too big. And he says, "Lord, I know the individual pieces. This is me. I know what they are, but I don't know how they all fit together." The angel does expect Zechariah to seek understanding of the vision. God expects us to be inquisitive about what he wants to do in our lives and what he wants to do individually that comes together collectively to form the church. And so he's expecting him to seek understanding on this vision. Zechariah is confused. He doesn't understand really what he's looking at. And Zechariah has, in this moment, what we all should have. We don't know everything. We don't know everything that God is wanting to do. And sometimes we need to have a teachable spirit. Hey, do you think that you're going to live from right now till the Lord comes or takes you home without ever being disciplined? Without ever being corrected? Now, I love it when it comes from the pulpit and I don't got to come into the pastor's office. But I want to receive, every time someone's preaching, I want to hear what God is saying through them to me. And I need to keep a teachable spirit all the time. When I walk in the house of God, when I'm listening to what the preacher is saying, God has spoken to them to speak to me. And so he has a teachable spirit here. He is approaching this with humility. I can't do this on my own. I don't know what I'm looking at. He's telling Lord, I need revelation. How many times has God spoke to you and you don't quite understand what he's going to do or how he's going to do it, but God wants to help us today to see. It's okay to say, "God, I don't know. I need revelation." God was testing his spiritual hunger. It's a prerequisite to get anything from God. You got to have a hunger for the things of God. You got to be thirsty for a move of God. You got every day, "God, I need you. I need you, you to help me. I need you to go before me. God, I am thirsty. I am hungry for you." He says to the angel, Zechariah says, "No, my Lord." I love what the angel of the Lord says to him. He said, "This word is for Zerubbabel." Zerubbabel was the post-exilic governor that came over to lead the temple reconstruction. It was his task with boots on the ground. There was the overall vision of God, but like the church, God expects us to be involved. God has the vision, God put forth the gospel, and now we have to carry that gospel out. And so he is boots on the ground. Sometimes that is a thankless job, because during this time, we have to understand that there was both physical and political opposition to what they were doing. Church, the vision of this church is great. The reach of this church is far. Do you not think there's going to be opposition? And it doesn't come. It comes to individual families, but we bring that as a whole, as a body of Christ, and we bear one another's burdens, and we come up. How many times have you lifted your hand going through something, and the voice of a saint helped you have a breakthrough? Somebody laid their hand on your shoulder. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody helped you get through what you were going through. And so there is going to be opposition anytime God has called us to do something beyond ourselves. And this is exactly what was happening. There's both physical and political. Ezra tells us that there came some people they call the nation people. And they came to Zerubbabel and they said, hey, we'd like to help you. The world can't help us, church. I said, the world cannot help us. Their philosophy, their way of thinking, their mindset is not our mindset. We come today totally dependent on the Spirit of God moving in our services and moving in our lives. They say, hey, we want to help you. And they recognize that these people did not know God. The world does not know God. I'm talking about the philosophy and the mindset of the world now. They don't know God like we know God. They don't depend on God like we depend on God. They don't hunger for God like we hunger for God. And they refused their help. They understand that this was a covenant responsibility that rested upon them. And all of a sudden, that sparked some opposition. Surrounding nations began to oppose the building, the rebuilding of the temple. They wrote letters of accusation back to the king and said that they are trying to set up a kingdom for themselves. And it got so bad, the conflict was so bad, that all of a sudden they had to put down their tools. They had to put down everything they were doing. And there was a 16, during this prophecy, there was a 16, it was the end of a 16-year work stoppage. Haggai had to remind them and refocus them. He said, you know why that you're putting wages into your pockets and there's holes? Because your houses are being built, but my house lay waste. He would say this to them, consider your ways. Every time we come to church, you know what we're doing? We're reconsidering our ways. We're considering, how did I live this week? What can I do? God, I think it would be good today that we consider our ways. Am I pleasing God? Am I obeying God? Am I in the Word of God? Am I depending on God? Yes, you have strength, but I tell you, your strength is not enough. It's good. That's why we come to church. To get our life rearranged. He said, when I looked at the wicked and saw how they prospered, he said, my foot was nigh unto slipping. Church, every day we're out there working in the world. We need to get in the house of God, whether it's Monday night prayer or life group or midweek or services on Sunday, to get our mind back on him so our foot doesn't. If you need church, we need church to help us. I have been, my mind has not been where it needs to be. I walk into church and God helps me refocus my attention on the things of God and what he's called me to do. So he is dealing with a people that are discouraged. They're just a remnant. There's a few in number. They're just hard. They look at the foundation of this temple. And the old timers that saw Solomon's temple, they say, this is nothing like what we had before. And they got discouraged. Don't despise the day of small things. They compared it to Solomon's temple. And they were rebuilding their homes. Their livelihood. Think about it. They went there and they not only had to build the temple, but they had to build their livelihoods, their homes. This was real work. Church, hardship will come. And the people begin to drift from the things of God to personal concerns. Now, we all have personal concerns, but they cannot overwhelm us to the point that we put our hands back in our pockets and take a back seat and we forget that there is a work to do for God. They begin to focus on these personal concerns. And so it is with this in mind, and that he's trying to refocus the people, that there is a purpose of God in this project despite the hardship. Church, every single one of us has a hardship. We have a setback. We have a struggle. Sometimes we are discouraged. We're waiting on God. It seems small and insignificant. If you ever look at something and say, I got this. Let me tell you, you're probably not in God territory. Because everything God has asked me to do is overwhelming. It's beyond my ability. I can't do this. And guess what I say? I can't do this by myself. Not only does God help me, but God sends other people around me to help me to accomplish what God has called me and you to do. Amen. And so despite all of that, there are going to be those things. But Zerubbabel was leading a broken people. But in the midst of all that, God wanted them to know. And I'm here to tell this church that it will be done. The vision that's before you, that was by Brother Hoffman and our Brother Bernard, can I tell you, it will be done. It will be accomplished. It will. Because it's not you. It is God. This is God. And we have to depend upon him. He wanted them to know, I know you're few. And I know the resources are small. And I know there's problems in your life. But he wanted them to know, this building will be built. This temple will be built. Come on, church. God is going to do it. Yes, through us. But he's the one. He's the one with the strength. He's the one with the power. He's the one with the ability. Come on, let's clap our hands unto the Lord today. Zechariah is to tell Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, I know maybe Zerubbabel was looking maybe at enlisting some help that he shouldn't have looked to. And he said, Zerubbabel, this is not going to be done by your ability. This is not going to be done by your ingenuity. This is not going to be done by some invention of a side hustle. This is not going to be done by you teaming up with somebody that doesn't have the same vision. This is not going to be, it's going to be, it's because he said, listen, there's a reason why he said this. Zerubbabel, it's not by might. Zerubbabel, it's not by power. Zerubbabel, it is by my spirit. Hey, first church, it's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by his spirit. That's why every service, we need to invite the Holy Spirit in. That's why we need to come through the doors, not to get prepared, but come prepared. And I need a move of God. I need God's spirit in me right now, moving. Come on, let's worship him. Let's worship the Lord today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We need your spirit, oh God. I think we need to be reminded that it is not us that moves the obstacles. It's him. Now, I told the first service, so I'll tell the second service. Sometimes we think that God delivers us, and he doesn't do this, by the way. Aren't you glad you came today? What God, we think God's going to pick me up, deliver, take me totally out of the situation. We don't say this, but we think this. And plop me down where I got new friends, new environment, new home, new job. God doesn't do that. Yeah. He's never done that. But he will pick you up and give you a different mindset when you realize it's not by might and it's not by power. And when we start depending on the spirit that's within us, and not ourselves. Then he would say, hey, old mountain, you will be made plain. He wasn't saying he's going to take this mountain and remove it. The nations that surround them weren't going anywhere.
The opposition wasn't going anywhere. But now what Zerubbabel had that he didn't have before, and this makes all the difference in the world, he had a word from God. And that word said, don't depend upon yourself. Depend upon me, because it's not going to happen that way. It's going to happen by my Spirit. So quit looking for a rescue like that and say, God, would you come up here in a few moments and say, God, I need a mindset. I need a change of attitude. I want to be looking. What he was saying is, I'm not removing the obstacle. I'm making the obstacle of insignificance. So now you look at it. I can walk through this. I can go through this. And somebody said it like this, you're either coming out of a trial, you're getting ready to go in a trial, or you're in a trial. It never, ever stops. So God doesn't need talented people. Thank God he can use them. Song service was enjoyable because there was talented people up here. God doesn't need gifted people. What God needs is faithful people. Now, what I can do, I can't sing or play the drums or anything like that. I can barely preach. But what God needs from me is to be faithful. God's not going to say, well done, thou good and talented and gifted servant. He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Hey, sometimes good is good. Just being good. Just being faithful. Just showing up. Just paying my tithes and offering. Just coming to Monday night prayer. Just being involved in a ministry. God, I can't sing like that, but I know one thing every single person can be. Every single person can be faithful. God is looking for faithful people. Zerubbabel, it's not by that. I need you to be locked in on the vision. I need you to be faithful. We're not called to be talented, smart, have all the answers, or be strong or mighty, but we are called, First Church, to be faithful. He says, this great mountain, this trouble, this opposition that's before you, it's going to become flat. It's God that does the work. It's not us. God is going to have it done. It will be done through, not by our power, but by his Spirit in us. Have you ever just looked at your own self and realized how much you lack? Nobody knows you like you know you. We can put a good facade on, talk Christianese, but we know we're empty. We know we're wretched. You're not going to do it that way. We come with brokenness. Sometimes I preached that when I was pastoring for 20 years, and I was broken as I was preaching, but I wasn't relying on me. I was relying on the Word of God. It wasn't fake it till I make it. I just was preaching the Word of God. But sometimes we come to God like, this is all I got. I think of the feeding of the 5,000 men, and then there was added women and children. Some say as high as 20,000 people. And you know what they had? They just had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's all they could come up with. So they saw the need, and right after the need was their lack. That can be discouraging. I see the need, but I also see my lack. What did they have to do with that? They had to bring it to Jesus. What do we have to do? We have to bring it to Jesus. God, I can't get away from the need. I have a vision for the gospel being preached from this location. I can't get away from it, Lord, but I see my lack. What did they have to do? They brought it to Jesus. Church, what is going to have to happen is we're going to have to bring this, everything that's going on, you got to bring it to him. And when we bring it to him, what does he do? What did he do with this thing? He blessed it. He broke it to empower it so it could be multiplied. Why did he do all that? So it could be served. Why do you go through and I go through what we go through living for God? So we can come, we get in a position, I got to get to Jesus because he can bless it and empower it and multiply it. For what? To serve. But it's not going to be by might. And it's not going to be by power. But it's going to be about the Spirit that is working in you. God does not require us to be more than enough. He requires us to trust him, what he's given us, to put back in his hands. And I told the church this morning that the greatest way to have a breakthrough is to be thankful. God, I thank you. I thank you for where I'm at. I thank you for my attention that's on you. I thank you where you have put these things in my life to align me to realize I cannot do this on my own. The burden is too much. I want us to lift our hands all across this building today. I feel the touch of the Lord here in a special way. Church, there ought to be a sigh of relief in every single one of our hearts today. I don't have to carry this on my own. I can give it to him. He is the author and he is the finisher of my faith. Come on, begin to pray in Jesus' name right now. Oh God, help us right now in Jesus' name. Let's all stand this morning. Do you trust the Lord? He said, this vision that he saw, you know what it was? It was a constant supply. The supply of the Spirit does not run out. That oil that represents the Spirit of the Lord flowed into the bowl, down the pipes to the candlesticks where there could be light. There was no that Zerubbabel had to gin it all up. Had to make it happen. It wasn't just there on Sunday morning, but it was there on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so on and so forth. Church, there is a constant flow of the Spirit of God. That's why the prophet said, see this vision? See this constant flow of my Spirit? My anointing? See that, Zechariah? Then the words make much more sense. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by this constant flow of my Spirit. That's why if you feel broken today, you're in the right place. If you're saying to God, I don't know. I thought I had an idea. There's been in essence, a 16-year work stoppage because I became discouraged. I've been hanging around, but I'm not what I need to be or where I need to be. God is putting this vision before us today.
to remind every single person that it's not by might. This sermon isn't something that I just put together. It's something I've been living. You know what happened as I began to think about this? A Holy Ghost sigh. I feel like God wants to give that to us today. Bring some peace. Quit toiling. What would happen if each one of us here today, as we come to the front in a moment, just took a sigh? You know what God's going to think? They trust me. They're faithful. They got the mind on the right place. Because it's not going to be done that way. So he shows in this vision of this constant supply of the Spirit of the Lord. That's what's needed today, is his Spirit. I can raise my hand. How many people have something in your life that you need God's help in? Just, I want you to lift the other hand to God and surrender. Come on, let's reach out to him. Let the prayers of the next person beside you carry the day here in a moment. Come on, church, begin to pray. Hallelujah. I need that constant supply that's available to every spirit-filled believer. I need it, Lord. I've been toiling, I've been working, I've been fretting, I've been concerned, God. But God, I know, God, that you want to help me today. Scripture's ringing in my ears, Lord. It's not going to be by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, as they begin to sing, let's lift our voices together. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
These altars are open if you'd like to come and find a place to pray. But best yet, why don't you bring somebody down with you?
Your glory,
I'm taking my brokenness. I'm taking this to God today. It is the day with me carrying the load, carrying the burden of it. I'm coming down to put this in the hands of Almighty God. Come on, church, let's come and find a place to pray. Maybe God has put somebody on your heart to pray with them. Why don't you go lay your hand on their shoulder and begin to pray with them. Let them hear your voice of prayer over them. In the name of Jesus.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be